Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and East City Stargate. Again, we're on Vimeo, we're on East City Stargate TV, we're on Rumble, and quite a few other venues. So if you just type in East City Stargate, it'll all come up, and you can check out the show, and be sure and share it with others. We've got a lot of things going on. I'm going to skip the news today, because by the time this airs, everything's going to change, and everything's moving so fast. It's so funny that this big kabuki theater, you don't even want to go into the news, because it's all fake news anyway. And then a lot of it's, you know, they're saying this guy's arrested, that guy's arrested, and they've already been dispatched. So, you know, it's like, where do you go? You know, they're saying the Philippines just issued an arrest warrant for Bill Gates, and I think he's pretty much gone already. But We'll see how this all turns out. So I'm going to skip the news. I really wanted to talk about a workshop. I got a great group coming here, and we've got the Intergalactic Workshop, and we've got Clark and Cameron and Shane and Jojo. They're going to be doing this workshop here at the ranch. And welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us, James.
Thanks, hey, James. Thanks, James.
So happy to be here on your As You Wish Talk Radio, James.
All right. Good to hear. Hey, we got to do that shark video. I haven't forgotten about that. Yeah, we're in Hawaii and we're swimming, supposed to be swimming with these pilot whales. And then these ocean white tips showed up and said hi to us. It was pretty interesting, but that's a whole nother story. But this workshop you've got coming up, I know here the energy is just insane. It's so strong here. It's amazing. We had a great group here this weekend. And a lot of ships, just a lot of ships, but they're staying high. We had two giant green fireballs come over, which was interesting. And just a lot of activity and a lot of contact. And there's whole new groups. There's all these Pleiadian warriors that are showing up, you know, that are getting ready to, you know, they said it's no more negotiations. Now they're in pest control mode. You know, so there's a lot going on. You know, it's getting really interesting. But the I'd like to cover this, the workshop. I don't know who you want to be. You can take turns and talk about, you know, what the workshop's going to be about, and you know, give all the pertinent details to it.
Perfect. Who you want? You want to start, Cameron? Or you want me to start?
Clark, you want to be point man?
Yeah. So we had, last year we had an amazing retreat. We had a great group that came. And so we want to do another one this year and kind of build off of that, that energy from last year. And so one of the things that we admire about you, James, is the energy of the ranch and just what even a SETI stands for is an enlightened contact with extraterrestrial intelligence. So this year, in naming the retreat Intergalactic, it's all about, you know, the inner work that we do with ourselves to prepare ourselves to raise our vibration, to have these experiences. And so that's just a little bit about that. Anybody else want to share anything about that? About the Intergalactic?
Oh, we could go on for hours for that.
Shane actually came up with the name.
The name came to me several years ago. But it only returned when I was at your ranch, because the energies were so high and so clear that it finally felt like the place for that seed to land. And after reading some of your books, I got total confirmation that that's a place where people can safely and securely remove blockages and tune into their ascended masters in a very secure and, I don't know. There's a lot of integrity there. Some of the highest integrity energies I've ever felt. And so I wouldn't, you know, there's no other place we'd rather have it. And so it felt like the right place, the right time. And last year was just phenomenal. And you can talk to some of the people that went, that they stoked us out with their reviews. And it's like, we're kind of dragging our feet this year. We're like, you know what? There might even be a wedding there. There's like people met there that were just like, bam, meant to be together. And that's the kind of energy that we found there last year. And we're bringing in Jojo. He's been a longtime friend. We're building our own grids pre 2012. And he's obviously not gridding at the ranch because it's already got a really high vibe grid, but he can teach people how to do and clear their own stones and some very, well, I'm not going to speak for you, JoJo. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just look forward to hearing what the guys did last year and the whole group did last year. I'm looking forward to coming up there and mainly just talking about crystals and how they relate to the different star families, because that's information that's come through to me over the last year. I've been studying, working with my friend Oshara, and in working with her during our sessions, to keep it simple, some of the main groups, the Pleiadians, the Sirians, the Arcturians, the Andromedans, came through and gave specific information on which stones they like to work with us through, connect with us through. Just helps us connect with them in an easier way. And a lot of us have stones already, so it's a cool bridge of information. So that's some of the stuff I'll be bringing.
I'll have to show you. I have a couple stones that are of no known origin. Nobody can figure out where they came from. And
that's cool.
And one is really high. You put it in your left hand and there's incredible Pleiadian communication. And the other one's a grounding stone. You put it in your right hand. And every time I put these in people's hands, they go, oh, and their whole head starts tingling and everything, you know. So I think it's really weird. They found these on a reservation and it blew up in the sky and it just spread out all across the reservation. And there's two aspects. There's a dark stone that you can see through. It's really weird. It's a dark stone, but it's transparent. And it has gold in it and everything else is kind of brown and gold. And then the other stone is a green and you can see right through it. It's a crystal green stone. You know, it's pretty interesting, but I'll bring those out and people can play with them.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it sounds fun.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Hey, James, you know, it's really good to be on the show here. And, I just want to take a moment just to share gratitude. I mean, look, I've been on the path to discovering truth for a long time now. I mean, years and years ago, I was going to, just kind of looking back in my history, I'd been attending a lot of UFO conferences over the years. And we got a chance to meet in, I think it was 2019. And it was awesome. We loved your presentation. We just really, connected with your everything. When we met, it was like, we made the intention to get up to East SETI. And then of course the whole pandemic, worldwide global catastrophe. And, it was interesting because while the entire world was shutting down and postponing and not engaging, we looked on your schedule and you guys stayed open.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, we're like, that's it. We're making the trip and we're going up. And we attended, there in 2020 and 2021, your self-mastery and ambassador workshop. Also some of the yoga and shamanic healing retreat, the conferences, we came up and volunteered. And then we, last year in 2022, we put on, for the first time, our own, spring retreat, and we had some phenomenal experiences. I mean, the energy there, and we're so excited with Clark and Shane and JoJo, myself as facilitators to come back and experience East SETI, the ranch, and really just make some connections with, some of us conscious beings that are going to be there, as well as the higher dimensional beings that we get to engage with. I know for me that some of the great experiences that we've had, this bracelet I have on right here is from last year. One of the attendees made this bracelet and gave it to me. We stay in touch with a lot of the friendships that we've made at East SETI Ranch, and we'll continue these lifelong relationships and look forward to meeting other people and just getting the opportunity to do some of the inner work. Because look, everything going on around us externally, whether Ukraine and the human trafficking and all the politics going on here in the States. You know, looking at just the SRA, all the evil stuff going on. You know, that is, it's all crazy, but really what it's all about is going within and doing the work so that we can raise, you know, our vibrational frequency in order to connect with the, you know, the galactic family out there. So the intergalactic and the galactic family, we're going to do our best to come up with some, you know, special workshop here, workshopping in order to make contact.
Nice. Yeah. I've been a bad boy lately. I've been putting some posts out that talk about, you know, the conferences right now. And I've been blackballed at pretty much all of them. Yeah. So, you know, I said, you know, the controlled narrative does not want the authentic, you know, to come in there. And I said, now the whole thing's a controlled narrative, you know, and it's run by the integrity and morally challenged, you know, and you look at the list of the keynote speakers and things and you go, oh, pedophile, you know, it's just Rockefeller pedophile, you know, it's just like, seriously, come on, guys, you know, you know who these people are. You know, their planned opposition, you know, their integrity levels and their moral levels are just off the scale. And they all have a long history, you know, and you just go, why do you keep promoting these people? And I know one conference they had, they seemed to have a problem because a lot of criminal stuff came up, you know, with the people that they were promoting. So, you know, it's kind of funny because the same people that are sabotaging or backstabbing or anything else are now having to deal with their own element, you know, matching their frequency. But I kind of see that, you know, these things are going to have to, they're either going to have to transform or they're going to implode, and they're imploding now. I had friends going to some of these conferences and they said there was nothing new. It was all old stuff. You know, it was just, you know, a controlled narrative. It's like, well, they were here in the past, you know, and they were Roswell, you know, 70 years ago and you know, this and this, and you go, because seriously, guys, they're here now. They're here now. You can come and see them now. You can have your own contact. You know, you can have your own experience, and then nobody can take that away from you. And that's what I love about Isetti, is that this is a big thorn in their butt, is that it's still going on. It never stopped. It's still happening. And people are still coming up and having their own experience. And that just is a real thorn in their butt, you know, you know, they make all these claims, but they have no evidence. And, you know, we tell people, come up and get your own evidence, you know, bring your cameras, you know, you can see it yourself.
And to be prepared for it. Cause once there's a burden, a good burden, but once you have your own contact living with that it's no longer a question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's life changing. People come up here and they just, oh my God, they can't believe it. And they see the ships and they see all the paranormal stuff happening here. And then they realize they've been lied to all their lives. And all of a sudden they just start opening, you know, wide open and start, they can't get enough of the paranormal and the higher dimensional, you know, information.
Absolutely. And that's why we think it's so important and imperative to have a framework of emotional support, like inner emotional support, when that kind of existential or that crisis happens, because once proven that it's no longer just a question or a potential, it happens and it's like, oh, the bottom drops out.
Yeah. And
what do we have, you know, like community is one of the things that we've discovered is fun, like is one of the cores that we can, once we have that integrity and we have that trust and starting within, then we can build community and build those strong relationships that then support us after contact.
Because I know a lot of people are not going to do well because this is all coming down. It's going to come down hard, and everything they believed, everything about their government and the system and everything is going to be revealed here really soon. And and their whole religious beliefs, all of that. They're going to find out, you know, the bearded gods were actually from the stars and the demigods were their offsprings. And it's going to be a real, for some, it's going to be an awesome aha moment, and other people, it's just going to turn them upside down.
Absolutely. And that's why we're here to help support that smooth transition for those willing to grow and learn and be vulnerable. Yeah. Look within.
Yeah. Babaji always told me, he said, stop watering seedlings with a fire hose, you know? So I've been cutting back a little bit on some of the things I do.
Yeah. Well, you got fertile ground up there for the seedlings you want to grow.
Definitely. So what are the types of things you're going to be doing at the workshop?
Yeah, so we'll do we'll have movement and qigong and yoga, and we'll do some visualizations and guided meditations, and do work and do circle work with each other and like group setting.
Sacred sound.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do sound. Last year we did drum circles, and that was I think everybody's favorite part. So we'll do drum circles, and
Sounds
like in the summer we won't be able to do that around the fire, but we'll be able to gather around, have drum circles. We'll bring the crystal bowls and do sound baths, and you know, JoJo will talk about crystals
Malia.
Yeah, and Malia will come too. She couldn't come to the show today. She wasn't feeling good.
Okay.
So Malia will come and help out with the qigong, and
nice. She
loves coming to the ranch. That's my daughter. She's been coming out there for years now. When she went, 13, she came out to the ranch.
How is she? But 16 now, 17? I don't know.
She's graduating high school this week on Friday. She graduates high school.
Wow.
And so, she's 17 now. She's got her license and driving, and yeah, they grow up fast, they say.
Yeah, it's so funny because, you know, people, I'm really bad about it. I just don't have time. You know, it's like I feel things more about their emotional content, you know, or how strong it was or things like that. And time, I think that happened, you know, last year, and it happened like 6 years ago or things like that. It's really funny because time is starting to bend and one of the things that Palladian said, that they're going to do something, they're going to fold time. And I don't exactly know what that is, but I really do think they're going to move us forward so we can miss a lot of the nonsense. They're going to do something where they're going to fold time and to jump us through the stuff that if we hang out too long in, it's going to be a real mess, you know, like skipping World War III and a few other things. But, you know, it's... that's not going to happen anyway. As much as they're going to try to get everybody in fear, there might be some false flag things they're going to try, but
sure. The
ships, the ET's got it. You know, they're watching all this.
Yeah, just kind of going off of that jumping time, we're going to be jumping into the ice, the glacier melt river that
that's
is
always
on
our
the
favorite
ranch.
Thing.
So
I was wondering if you guys are going to jump off the bridge.
Yeah, one of our special events and activities that we'll be conducting is the awesome ice plunge. We'll be doing some ice plunging, jumping off into that beautiful river right there next to the ranch. And it's awesome because really, I believe that it is symbolic. Because a lot of the work we're doing is we're facing, you know, our worst fears in a sense. And so getting up, you know, 20 to 30 feet up in the air and jumping into this freezing cold water and doing that ice plunge, you know, that is just facing your fear right there. So it's very symbolic, and we have a lot of fun doing it. And we can't wait to get into the water. Yeah.
Make sure everybody signs the waiver. I always tell people too, if you don't feel like, you know, don't be pushed into something. If your inner guidance says, don't do it, you know, if it's not for you, don't push yourself. But the, you know, I've had so many things happen lately where I couldn't even give a reason why. It was like recently in Hawaii, we were going to jump in the water and everybody's jumping in the water. And I just had this, don't go. And I go, this doesn't make sense, you know? And everybody's, oh yeah. You know, it's like, they're all freaking out. You could, you know, I can't go too far because I get into trouble if I talk about more, but anyway, so all of a sudden they come up and they've got, these, I can't remember, they're not a jellyfish, but those long, really long stringy ones. They just like a jellyfish, they sting you. But they got hit by those and they came up, you know, and luckily we had some vinegar and some other stuff there. But it's like I'm standing there and everybody's going, come on, go. And you know, the captain's going, well, how come you're not going in? And I said, I don't know why. I don't know why. I can't go. I said, it's saying don't go, you know, and then I find out later, you know, why, but I always tell people to trust that, you know, trust that inner guidance. If it's saying something to you, you know, we have to really learn that, because in the days to come, you're not going to be able to trust much on the external, you know, because the external world is just imploding and it's so deceptive right now. And it's all, you know, imploding in on itself. So we have to go back to the inner guidance, you know, and work with the higher dimensional beings.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. One other thing we'll be covering, speaking of implosion, is 432 and its relationship to 8 Hertz, Planck length, all these great things, you know, creating coherent harmony. Mm-hmm. And so when we are in that coherent state, those dissonant states become very apparent.
Yeah,
it's kind of like in a symphony. If someone plays a wrong note, if we have an inner symphony going on, and the news or some other media or a person comes in, and it sounds like, ooh, that's out of tune with the high frequency or the coherent frequency I'm in training, and mm-hmm. that becomes a nice guide of, ooh, all right, yes, no, yes, no. And it becomes another tool in one's toolbox for following that path.
I know just being up here in this energy is going to raise everybody's frequency. So when you go back, you're going to see things totally, totally different. That I had a yoga teacher once. I love what she said. She said, you know, if your room's a mess, you know, and there's just stuff laying everywhere in the room, you know, one pair of socks, who cares? Nobody's going to notice it. But if your room's really nice and clean, you know, and then somebody throws some dirty socks in the middle, it just sticks out like a sore thumb. And that's kind of what happens when you get your room all cleaned. You know, you all say, oh, wow, that doesn't work for me, you know.
Yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah.
Getting our house in order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's you know, we're having so many different beings come in and just recently I had a being, and I swear this sounds so off the wall, but the guy looked like Superman. And I go, okay, overactive imagination, I'm losing it, you know. But he came to me and he said, old friend, you know, he said, how are you, old friend? You know, and I said, okay, I think I know who this guy is. And he was like a captain, like a Pleiadian captain. And this guy just was he was buffed out. I mean, he was like, and he says, yeah, he said, we're done negotiating, you know, and I guess they're bringing in the warriors now, you know, to just clean house. So I think things are going to move really fast. I don't know how long it's going to take on the ground to do their thing, but the other influences are going to be taken out here. They're pretty much removed already.
And I'm sure the time spans will vary for each person, because our perception of time and whether we hold it in or we have something to experience in the density in order to raise our vibration.
Yeah, the muggles, I say, God, the muggles, I don't know what they're going to do with this. You know, it's, if you haven't done your work, and if you haven't done your process-oriented therapy or whatever, and cleared out your old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions, and you're still watching CNN, you know, these poor people, I don't know what they're going to do with this. You know, when it goes down, they're going to have a total meltdown, And yeah. And I think that's where we need to be around to pick up the pieces. You know, I think it should be totally legal now to say I told you so, because, you know, we've been invalidated so much all our lives. Now we can sit back and smile and just watch it all come down.
Absolutely. And also, you know, studying a bit of Tibetan Buddhism, there's the Bodhisattva vow, which is to stay dedicated until all the suffering has been removed. And so a lot of us, some of us have signed up for the shit show cleanup.
Yeah.
And, it's like, okay, yep, this is what I signed up for. I'm here for it. I'm not running away. I'm sticking here with compassion and love. And
I'm all for a vacation myself. I'm ready for a break. I've been doing this for God knows. I don't want to admit how long, over 40 years intensely, but it's just like, wow, I'm ready for a vacation.
Yes.
You guys can take over.
Yeah. Well, speaking of doing stuff for a long time, we're excited to have our buddy Jojo with us this year. And he was telling us he actually came to the ranch back in 2007, right, yeah. Jojo?
Yeah, so...
And he's been listening to you for over 20 years on the radio.
Yeah, so it's wild, because I was going to speak to this at some point, so here it is. I got to actually come up to the ranch in 2007, and I was all excited. I didn't know what to expect necessarily, other than seeing some chips, right, and actually getting to see you in person after hearing your voice for years. And so it was interesting, because I did see chips at the ranch, and it was, I guess, a light day to call it something. I remember seeing a couple ships, and there was a blinking ship. And I was like, okay, I saw some ships. And then right away, I was on an extended road trip, and we went down to Mount Shasta within a day or two. And then I started seeing a lot of ships. You know, we slept way high on the top parking lot on Mount Shasta. And even without my glasses, I was seeing ship trails and things taking off in front of me. And that night, I probably saw 30 ships. And I just kept like waking up out of dead sleep, opening my eyes and seeing something right in front of me. And I'd go back to bed like, what is going on? So it was interesting, because you had mentioned even back then, and I know you've been saying this for years, but it's just people that show up at the ranch, you know, we get tuned up and we change. And so, yeah, we may see ships at the ranch, and most of us are counting on something like that. No pressure, but it's what happens to us after, you know. It's the experience of being there and the catalyst of being there at your East City ranch, and then how that looks in our lives afterwards. So right away, that Mount Shasta experience happened for me, you know, and going to Sedona and Big Sur and all these other energy spots afterwards, seeing ships there too. And at this point, like I said, that was 2007. So we're about 16 years on now. And I've seen so many, I've lost count. I've seen so many ships, startups and ship trails. So it's definitely life-changing to be up there. And it's a process, you know, so it's like, yeah. So I've, just to keep it simple, you know, the 16 years since I've been there and the changes those have made in my life, it's like, it all stacks up over time. Like I said, so I don't even know how many ships I've seen at this point, but there will be people that possibly show up for the first time that haven't seen a ship. And so I'm running this out. So, you know, no pressures on them. You know, we all start somewhere.
Uh-huh.
You know? And if they, you know, find a way to make it to East City and it's the first time they've seen ships, then that's very fortunate for them. So
it's kind of like an initiation. You come here and you have the experience and then the energy as well. And then all of a sudden people start, I'm getting videos and photographs from all over the place now that people have come to East City and they go, look, these guys are following me. And I go, that's what's supposed to happen. And you know, it's like, and great videos, and they're getting messages, you know, very beautiful messages and things like that. So, you know, I always tell people, this is about your own personal journey. It's not about me. It's not about a guru, or it's not something external, you know, but I had an experience in Shasta. I have to share it with you. It was pretty funny, because I went there and they had a conference going, and I was up at, I think it was Shastina or something, Lake Shastina up the top up there. And there's all these school teachers there, and they're having a big school teacher convention. And so I was there by myself, and I got there a day early, and I go, I just want to enjoy the energy here. And I was in my van, you know, and so I got out, and these guys go, hey, we've got plenty of food over here. You know, we're doing a little barbecue. If you want to join us, that'd be great. You know, so I'm sitting around talking to them. And they go, why are you here? And why are you here? What brings you to Shasta? And I said, oh, there's a convention going on. You know, they go, oh, you're part of the teachers convention? And I said, no, I'm part of the UFO convention. They all just like, they go, oh, like this. like, oh, and all of a sudden they got kind of quiet and they're all like, yeah, you know, like this. And nobody said anything. It got really quiet. And I go, kind of like that one right there. This huge ship just flew right over us, the whole group. Oh, it was so funny. And they're just blown away. And they got all, a couple got freaked out. And, but they're all excited about it. And I said, now you're going to go home and tell your students? And they said, hell no. But it was pretty funny. It's just, they have a sense of humor. It's just perfect timing.
That's great.
I'm sure that'll happen here. People are going to have their own experiences. And you know, if you're out there, you're going to see something. You just can't, there's just too much going on to not see something.
Yeah. I mean, this last year, I feel like we were activated, Clark and I. There's a few of us in Big Sur at a friend's retreat center, and we're in the hot tub overlooking the ocean. It's that night, it's my birthday, and boom, the cigar ship, just super stealth.
Huge cigar ship.
Yeah, you describe it, Clark.
Yeah, it was so huge and just big. It just moved so slow across the planet. It was, I mean, it filled up the whole, almost the whole sky. It looked like the size of a city.
Wow. So, and so I looked over at some friends that were in the hot tub with us, and I was like, well, now do you believe in UFOs? And they're like,
yeah, there was a couple non-believers in the hot tub, and they're like,
yeah.
They were like, that was a pretty, pretty prominent UFO.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few of those here. And some of those, you know, everybody goes, oh, that's Starlink. And I go, no, I know the difference between Starlink. I said, some of these things are treetop level, and you know, I'm filming it, and it goes behind the tree and doesn't come back out, just disappears. And it's like half treetop level going through the trees, and I go, Starlink's out there, and it's pretty obvious when you see it, especially when they first launch it. But these things aren't Starlink. It's something else.
You were at the ranch when they first launched the Starlink.
Is
that the retreat?
Yeah, was that the first night or second night? We saw it, and you have video of it, Cam.
Yeah,
and so. Yeah. See the direction it was going, and then there's all sorts of ships moving in different directions.
Yeah, and the Starlinks.
Yeah,
that was the funny part, is because Starlink, they let off all their little satellites, right, and they're all going in a row, and then all these other ships are just going choo choo, like buzzing, going every direction, all around it. And I go, how do you explain that? You know, that's Starlink, but what are all those other ships? And then we had the space station come over. And I had a physicist that was with me at the time that had connections with NASA and everything. And so he calls up NASA and he goes, hey, do you guys have anything up there with the space station that's they go, no, the shuttles are down. You know, we're not doing anything, like no Russian rockets or anything. He goes, no. And he goes, well, we just saw a massive ship fly right in front of it, and then one trailing it and flying right behind it. So it's, you know, it's either space fleet, you know, or it's our own secret space fleet or something. But and we filmed it too. And he goes, oh, we got it on film. And the woman goes, oh, wait a minute. And she comes back and she goes, oh, no, that's a Russian rocket. But this guy knows how to look that stuff up.
Yeah.
And he said, no, it wasn't. And he said, that's just their disinformation program, you know.
Yeah, when we saw that cigar ship, I was teasing Shane, saying, hey, they're just wishing you happy birthday. your buddies are just buzzing in to say happy birthday.
Yeah, we had, there was a guy here, a wonderful guy, and he had, I don't know what he got on his equipment, but it was his birthday. And they said, they're going to send me a surprise on my birthday. He goes, I was told. I go, great, sounds great, you know, and these two massive green fireballs came over, and they were just huge, you know, right over us. I turned around, looked up and go, happy birthday. It was pretty hilarious, but he's down, I think he's in Huntington Beach or somewhere down there in California, and he's just getting these ships flying over schools, you know, hovering over schools. And we had one here over Portland State, a huge mothership. It was an Orion Council of Light ship. And you could hear it pulsing and making all these crazy noises. And we got it on film. And I asked them, I said, what are you doing over Portland State at 2 a.m? And they said, higher learning. They said, we're preparing, you know, the kids for contact, basically. So it's going to get interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, the kids need it because, you know, there's going to be some shifts. And the more educated and in tune with that, the less traumatic the shift is.
Yeah. I was asked to do a talk at one of the schools here, like the Hood River High School and the elementary school too. And all the kids were drawing pictures. That was the homework. Okay, I want y'all to draw pictures of UFOs. And they all drew pictures and they said family. And it was like unbelievable. I go, oh, these are good. And then I showed them the pictures and they're all excited. I couldn't believe they let me do it, you know, but it raised, a lot of people got upset later. Some of the parents got mad about it, I just told them, I said, you know, they've been here a very long time. They're our ancestors and I just kept it real simple. Mm-hmm. And they're returning, you know, and not all of them are good, but most of them are good now. And if you talk to the good ones, they'll keep the bad ones away. You know, I kept it really simple, but I was amazed that all the kids would tell their stories, and they had their picture, and they would come up and show me the picture and talk about their picture. And they go, I'm not from here. You know, this is my family. You know, they'd have the ship and all the people. You know, it's kind of interesting, but I think there's so many kids that are just, they know they incarnated from these other higher dimensions and other civilizations. And it's too bad that's not validated. You know, these schools, they're actually validating a lot of that. And the kids really wanted me to come back, but I guess they got a bunch of flack from some of the parents. So it's the way it goes, you know, but I kept it real basic. Really, I guess there's a lot of some church people that got a little upset, but I go, read your Bible. It's all in there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, speaking of kids are welcome to the retreat. Maylee will be there. She's 17 and she's been coming out there for many years. And so we welcome people of all ages to come out to the retreat. And yeah, we're just looking forward to being back on the ranch. Speaking of kids, I gotta sign out of here and go pick up one of my daughters from soccer. I'll let these guys finish it off. And I really appreciate you having us back at the ranch, James. I honor and appreciate everything that you do. And thank you so much for having us on the show. And I'll sign off with Cameron and JoJo and Shane.
Yeah. And thank you for all your help, you know, coming up to the ranch and helping out and building and getting things put back together here. I mean, we had the most amazing crew came out here for the winter repairs.
Oh, no.
Trees fell on buildings and pipes were all frozen and broken. It was just a disaster. And all these professional people just showed up and they all knew what, and they just did it. I couldn't believe it. I go, thank you, God. That was the most incredible manifestation, you know. And it was like quite a few of you guys, you know. There's like quite a few Clarks there. I know, because you just get after stuff and get going too. And now I have a really good crew here that they just do it. They don't sit around and don't, they go, what do you need done? And I go, I need that done, you know, and then I'll be working too. And I say, I got to go and I'll finish it, you know, so it's great. Doing great. So I know you got to go pick up your daughter. So,
but yeah, I'm looking forward to coming to the ranch and definitely you put me to work. I'm coming to work and coming to play. Fun.
All right,
guys.
Thanks, Clark.
Yeah, we got a few minutes left. There's so much going on. The workshop, I guess, is just going to be a lot of basically an interaction and engaging the higher beings. And I know you guys probably have some kind of process oriented therapies going on there in the workshop or circles.
Yeah.
Something like that.
One thing I wanted to speak to, James, because it's something that listened to you over the years. I heard it and I heard it and I heard it and I heard it and I kept saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I finally got it. And that's setting sacred space, because I've heard you say it for years, and it's something that I finally incorporated many years ago in my personal work and working with clients. And so I wanted to speak directly to that, because when we do certain things, of course, at the ranch, you guys set the sacred space every day and share that with people so they can just kind of form that habit for themselves, you know, with whatever we do, whether we're doing a guided meditation or a sound bath or crystal activation or jump off a bridge, you know. So it's like setting that sacred space and basically making our own containers or a group container is key. And I'm glad I finally not only listened to you, but put it to work. So, so that's going to be part of the workshop. It's just going to be repeated in a lot of the things we do. So,
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm seeing now there's so many people that are doing therapies and they're not creating sacred space. Ooh, and people are opening up and things are jumping in and, you know, a lot of like plant medicine abuse and things like that. And they're bragging, you know, I've done 50 ceremonies, ayahuasca ceremonies, and they've got like 50 entities on them. I said, if you don't do that in sacred space and do it with a trained shaman that knows how to heal unseen negative influences and keep your space clear, you know, you can get into trouble real easy. And you can do it all naturally. You don't need the plant medicine. But I kind of tell people that, you know, you really need the tools before you do anything. Have to learn how to shield yourself, how to heal unseen negative influences and create that sacred space. And if you don't, and you open wide open and you don't do that, you're opening to anything. And, you know, a lot of people like LSD and things that they take these trips and they have a really bad trip and all these hideous things come after them and crazy stuff happens. And I said, well, you didn't create sacred space. You know, what do you expect? You just open wide open. And a lot of it's your own stuff you haven't healed. You know, your old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences and how they're manifesting in the thought world. And so if you don't know how to regain control of that, you know, you can have a pretty bad trip.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of one of the key elements why we brought JoJo in, is he's, both Cameron and JoJo are excellent at creating and holding sacred space.
Yeah. But
we're kind of modifying. I've been doing men's work and interpersonal work since I lost both of my best friends. I had a personal existential crisis, and that was around 2007 that I started seeking this type of work. And there was ways of creating sacred space, but the quality of space that these two gentlemen create felt like, okay, this is the next level. What I felt at the ranch is like, okay, bam, there's another level to this as well. But when doing that work in the container, as well as doing processes that are not overly, we're not trying to extract details from your personal life. We're asking you to do the work within you, because this is your process.
Yeah.
We don't need to know all the details. That's for you to know and experience, and we're here to hold space for it, but we're not extorting information. We're not trying to know every detail. That's not, the healing doesn't require that. Mm-hmm. And so now there's methods that we can still go through these healing processes in a really sacred space, as well as limiting vulnerabilities to entities or even exploitative people that say they're healers, right? So it's, how do we create a process? And, you know, I have friends that are therapists and very good therapists, and they've kind of helped me hone this in along with these gentlemen of going through the process, but not spilling all your guts. Don't need to do that in order to heal.
Yeah. I know here things can be healed very quickly and gracefully, and the beings are here to help you do that. And a lot of times when we do counseling work, it things come up for people and they go as fast as they came up, and they go, I can't, they couldn't even grab it almost. It came through so fast. And there's a lot of people that do like breath work here and other things, and they go, things are moving so fast and so quickly. and gracefully. We're not getting all this cathartic, you know, like people locking up and shaking on the ground, stuff like that. But because things move very, very quickly and gracefully here, and the circle, when you do the intention walk out there, we've had so many people walk right out of their diseases, whatever's affecting them. You know, we've had broken bones mend and tumors go away and ulcers and crazy stuff. And they have before and after x-rays. But I always tell people, you know, what happens here is between you and Creator, basically. And so, you know, if you're wide open and you're ready and you know, whatever your karma's in order, you know, you're going to have a great experience. And if you're not ready, you'll have an experience, but it may not be as powerful as you know, because it's up to us. You know, they won't trespass on free will. So it depends on how much we open ourselves and invite, you know, the healing to come in and knowing we're worthy of the healing, you know, because, you know, that's the main thing is we beat ourselves up and judge ourselves all the time. And I think the one thing that people have to realize that God doesn't have an ego, so it can't judge, you know, so all we have to do is forgive ourselves and just move on. And that's a hard one for people to realize because they think there's this guy up there with a laptop, you know, taking notes with a lightning bolt ready to toast the bad doobies, you know, and that's the image we've been given. You know, it's not that at all.
Yeah. One thing you touched on that actually gave me a visual and even a deeper understanding of what we're talking about here is you talk about opening up. And I almost thought of like a surgery room. Well, you know, you can do surgery in the battlefield, but there's a higher likelihood, and maybe you need to, because that's essential. It needs to happen then, but not of as clean of an environment as, say, somewhere that's maintained, like the ranch. Energetically, it's like an operating room to open up. And, you know, everyone's process is different, but that's the image that came to mind was like, this is a clean place to operate and open up and do the work, and that therefore the healing happens much more easily and gracefully. And so thanks for sharing that. That even inspired my own process.
Yeah, the masters are here. I mean, we've had, you know, Taoist monks take pictures of Mary and Babaji and Kuan Yin, and a lot of the masters appear here quite often, and they're just a thought away, you know, and you know, if we put our intention on it, we're gonna connect into it. And so the energy's here, the beings are here, and it's just up to us as to what we experience when we come here.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, it's just want to articulate that if we truly look deep within ourselves and meditate and pray and do these clearings, you know, that have been life-changing, that I've learned from the workshops that you do, the ambassador and self-mastery workshops, and just have an honest, genuine desire to find the truth. You know, the power is within you, and that is what, you know, we are going to present, you know, doing these processes, you know, the counseling, emotional healing and setting the sacred space and doing these clearings are life changing. And this is very transformative. And we look forward to, you know, having a lot of fun out there as well as, you know, just providing some tools, you know, for people to take away a positive experience, you know, and continue this, you know, co-create and manifesting, you know, a higher vibration in the world that we live today.
Yeah, I was asking, I was meditating the other day and I was looking at all this craziness, you know, with all the agencies and everything and how they've all gone totally off their mandates and everything. And I was meditating on that and one of the masters came in and he said to me, are they creating heaven on earth? And I said, well, no, they're kind of trying to create hell on earth. He goes, then they're gone. You know, they they're going to implode, you know, because they're not frequency specific to this shift that's coming. And it's kind of, it really boils, they always make it really simple. You know, you're either creating heaven on earth or you're not. And, you know, if you're trespassing on others and creating pain or suffering or loss or capitalizing at the expense of others, that, you know, they just said, you're either creating heaven on earth or you're not. And those who aren't going to experience heaven on earth. They're going to experience their own reflection, you know, their own karmic loop, you know, is going to come in, but it's all going to be accelerated and amplified. So it's going to be an interesting process. And, you know, for those that want the science behind it, just look at the Schumann resonance, look at what the sun is doing. You know, the whole electromagnetic light spectrum is off the scale right now. It's increased, you know, there's more bands in the infrared. You know, what else? There's so much more light and consciousness and energy on the planet right now. And right now, all the higher dimensions are pressing in and the inner earth guys are pushing out and the earth is ascending. You know, there's nowhere to go. They're stuck in the middle. And if they don't transform or go with these energies, they're just going to implode. You know, they're going to take themselves out. So it's kind of a tricky game. You know, it's timing. You want to get out of the way of the implosion. You know, you don't want to be connected to it when it, as it folds in on itself. But it's happening right now, and it's happening on a huge scale.
Talking about, you know, things imploding, I just wanted to speak on kind of how things are exponentially accelerating. You know, as we kind of have this, you know, spiritual being having a human experience and having these great opportunities to go up to the ranch and really just plug in and tune ourselves up. I remember, James, the closest I've ever kind of glimpsed ascension, mm-hmm. we were out sky watching one night together with a group, and I was just having the greatest time laughing, and all of a sudden I cranked one out and you said, oh, that sounded like a teaspoonful, you might need a pair of pants. We were just laughing so hard, and that was the closest my gaseousness was ascending.
Yeah.
To the heavens, James. So
your food is
we do a lot of work, but we laugh a lot and we just have
right. I'll tell people, you know, if you want to ascend, follow the fart. It's your food ascending.
It's simple. Follow the fart. Get a t-shirt.
But it's all about mastering judgment. You know, we're not politically correct here. We have a good time.
We do.
And the humor and the laughter is so important. And, you know, this whole PC correct and trying to force everybody to think the same way, and that's all mind control. It's social engineering. And we got to get away from that. And some of the most funniest things are politically incorrect. So, you know, why trash it? You know, it's all about just making people laugh. And the more you're laughing, the closer you are to God. That's my theory, because my own near-death experience, that's what I experienced. It's just pure love and joy and bliss. And laughter takes you into that realm, you know, hooks you up to that realm.
Sure does. And it's a healing. It's a healing energy as well. Ascension and healing. It's all together. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen people heal just by laughing so hard. And all of a sudden, things just change. And they had a spontaneous healing just by laughing, and they forgot they had an injury, or they totally forgot about it long enough for it to just spontaneously go away.
Yeah. I think there might even be a documented case of a woman who had cancer, and she decided to watch a bunch of comedy movies and just laugh her head off.
Yeah.
Great. Or something like, I don't remember, you know, don't quote me on the time period.
And they've done a movie. Yeah. They've done a movie on that where that's all they did was watch funny movies and they cured cancer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I need to see that.
Yeah, it is. It's all about attitude. Like, you know, I tell people, you know, there's times I don't think I'm going to wake up in the morning. You know, I'm just so hammered and energetically beaten up. And I'm okay. Well, I've already died a couple times, so who cares, you know? And I wake up and I'm fine. You know, it's like I just surrender, you know, and I do a little prayer and say, "Yeah, I need some help." And I wake up in the morning, everything's gone. I go, "Wow, I don't know what that was," but you know, it's that's happening to a lot of people now. The ascension, you know, symptoms are really hitting hard right now. People are getting, you know, they're feeling the solar flares and the Schumann resonance, and they're getting dizzy. They're having heart palpitations and getting energy sickness, a little ill at times. But that's just part of the process that'll pass.
Yeah. If you look at animals, when they're hurt, they'll actually shake.
Yeah. And
laughter is actually a way of, it shakes our whole body. It vibrates our whole entire body. So it's releasing these micro tensions and traumas.
Yeah. Exactly. We're getting the end of the hour. So what is a, I know he said he has everything up on the site. Do you guys have your own website, or I'm not sure what the best place to.
Yeah. At this time we have our event flyer on eSETI.org/events. Okay. We also have an event promo video that we just, you know, finished production, released that. So be on the lookout for that. We'll be, you know, sharing that out into the interweb. We're actually working on a 30-second sizzler. So that will also go out on Instagram, Facebook, all the social media channels. And so we're just promoting and getting people excited.
Be sure and send that to me. I'll put it out on all our networks, you know, and make sure it gets out. What's the date that you have that this is going on? It's
July 14th, 15th, and 16th, right? Mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Nice.
Oh, and then the early birds can show up Thursday night if they'd like.
On the 13th of July.
Yeah, so it'd be Thursday the 13th.
A lot of UFOs show up. Like, it's funny. We've had them show up like the day before and the day after, you know, but they're always here. But we've had some big events. It seems like, you know, a lot of the early birds that get to see things that you just never know, you know.
Really is a worm.
And I just remembered something Clark mentioned to me. He wanted me to mention that, like, let's say people have to work on Friday. They're still welcome to come out Saturday, Sunday, if they can make it.
Great.
We're doing so many different activities that even if people can only make Saturday, Sunday, it'd still be worth making the trip.
Great.
Yeah. And we planned it, James, as you know, to where it's like a new moon, right? In the middle of the month. So
perfect.
It's
gonna, yeah.
You know, perfect conditions, right? For skywalking.
Oh, the mountain opened up like crazy. The doors open, ships are going in and out. It was this last weekend was crazy. We had a great group here. So I'm sure you guys have a great group too, and we'll have the same experience. But anyway, I can't thank you all for coming on the show, and I'm looking forward to this event. And we've got to sign off. We're out of time, unfortunately, but thanks. Keep up the good work, and we'll see you up here in July.
All right. Looking soon, forward James. To it. Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Right. Thanks, James.
Out of time, folks. Sorry, but we've got to sign off. James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio and eSETI Stargate. Have a great evening and keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent. And we'll see you up here, hopefully. Anyway, good night.